From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The suspect in the Boston Marathon bombing that killed three people and wounded more than 260 others last year has made his first court appearance in nearly a year and a half. Jahar Tsarnaev appeared under heavy security. He answered questions from the judge, including whether his lawyers were representing him adequately, to which he answered yes. Trial begins January 5th. A Kansas prosecutor is seeking the death penalty for a white supremacist from Missouri who's confessed to killing three people at two suburban Kansas City Jewish facilities. That decision was announced at a hearing for Frazier Glenn Cross, who's been ruled competent to stand trial. The 74-year-old is charged with capital murder and the April 13th shooting deaths, including that of a 14-year-old. Sony Corporation's in damage control mode as executives in Japan attempt to keep the hacking scandal plaguing their American movie division from ensnaring other parts of the Sony empire. Sony Pictures is facing tens of millions of dollars in losses following a cyber attack and embarrassing email leaks that U.S. intelligence say was the work of North Korean hackers. The group has also threatened the release of the Sony Pictures movie The Interview, a comedy that depicts characters who are instructed to assassinate the leader of North Korea. NPR's Arthi Shahani reports on Sony's decision to pull the film from distribution.
This whole chain of events has experts inside the cybersecurity industry really concerned, and they have different takes on whether Sony, by caving, made the right decision for itself. But, you know, across the board, they're worried that the company is sending the wrong message by handing off a huge win to a disgruntled state with very limited resources.
NPR's Arthi Shahani reporting. More words of praise today for President Obama after he announced intentions to end a more than half-century diplomatic standoff with Cuba. Former President Jimmy Carter calls the latest steps courageous, and Pope Francis, who along with Canada helped facilitate more than a year of talks, described the process of diplomacy as a noble job. There's also plenty of criticism from members of the Republican leadership and many Cuban Americans who argue the U.S. failed to hold the Castro regime accountable for human rights violations. There's been another suspected Boko Haram raid in Nigeria. The latest occurred in a remote northeastern Nigerian village. The BBC's Will Ross has the latest.
Local vigilantes in the remote Gumsuri village have fought off Boko Haram before, but this time they were totally overpowered by the jihadists. One man who managed to flee to safety said after returning to the village, he counted 33 dead bodies. He also said dozens of young men, women and children were taken away by the jihadist fighters. Possibly as many as 100 were abducted.
That's the BBC's Will Ross reporting. U.S. stocks continue to trade higher, Dow gaining 297 points since the open. It's up 1.7% at 17,653. All major market indices are up more than 1.5%. This is NPR News. Another major automaker is expanding its recall of vehicles with potentially defective Takata airbag inflators that, as Michigan Radio's Tracy Samilton reports, have been linked to at least five deaths and multiple injuries worldwide.
Ford Motor Company has joined Honda, Toyota, and several other automakers in expanding a limited regional recall of cars with defective airbag inflators to a national recall. The affected Ford vehicles include 2005 through 2008 Mustangs. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has demanded a national recall from every affected car company, but Chrysler and BMW are resisting. They say the regional recall in hot, humid areas only is warranted. For NPR News, I'm Tracy Samilton.
Stephen Colbert hosts a final episode of Comedy Central's The Colbert Report tonight. NPR's Eric Deggett says Colbert will leave behind a comedic character who had a serious impact in the real world.
In his very first show as a solo act, Stephen Colbert unveiled a word that would define much of the cable news business for the next 9 years. Truthiness.
The truthiness is... anyone can read the news to you. I promise to feel the news at you.
Colbert debuted as Colbert Report in 2005 after 8 years as a fake correspondent on The Daily Show. Though he was often pretending to be a conservative cable pundit, Colbert also ran for president, created a super PAC, and testified before the U.S. Congress. Colbert will take over CBS's Late Show after host David Letterman retires on May 20th. Eric Deggans, NPR News.
I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News, in Washington.